Item 4, a resolution by Supervisor Romo West providing for an advisory referendum on the November 4, 2014 election ballot on whether Milwaukee County voters support the state legislature accepting monies from the federal government to expand badger care.
Supervisor West.
Good morning. Good morning to my honorable colleagues. Thank you for allowing me to be in front of you this morning. I am here this morning asking your support for an advisory referendum on the November 2014 ballot asking if Milwaukee County voters support the state legislature accepting monies from the federal government to expand badger care. Should Milwaukee County vote to put this referendum question on the ballot, we will be joining Kenosha, Eau Claire, Outagamie, Jefferson, Bayfield, Baraboo, La Crosse, and Rock counties, who are all either going to have this question on the referendum as a referendum question or are in the process of having this discussion. Sauk County also had a discussion last year. In December, they decided not to put this question on the ballot, but they at least had the discussion. We just got through, and so I couldn't have timed this better, having a discussion about income equality. And this is part of that discussion. So there are the Affordable Care Act allows states to expand Medicaid to all individuals with incomes up to 133% of the federal poverty level. And the state of Wisconsin has chosen not to take advantage of available federal funds. The AARP has urged Wisconsin to expand Medicaid, stating that the individuals who will gain coverage, an estimated 84,700 Wisconsin residents, will include people who are single without children and who have no other means to get health insurance. And so that therein lies the income equality portion. So you have individuals who are single who don't qualify for TANF dollars, which is what is used generally for Medicaid. This is very personal for me. My in-laws have no health insurance. My father-in-law is diabetic. And they work. You know, these are working people. These are not people that, you know, are, you know, that sit at home and hope that somebody comes and knocks on the door and gives them something. They're individuals who work and are not able to afford health insurance. And I think a lot of people in our society, especially when we talk about low-wage workers, fall into this category. Wisconsin's internal medicine physician specialists, representing approximately 1,900 medical professionals in Wisconsin, states that it is imperative that Wisconsin accept federal dollars to expand Medicaid because it will improve low-income individuals' health status, reduce uninsured Wisconsinites by an estimated 40%, and it will save the state money because in the 2014-2015, 100% federal funding is available. The Legislative Fiscal Bureau from the state estimated acceptance of these federal funds could save the state $66 million over the course of 3 years. In Milwaukee County, an estimated 21,376 additional adults will be eligible for badger care, a 38% increase in insured individuals, as reported again by the Legislative Fiscal Bureau in December of 2013. So I believe Milwaukee County voters deserve the opportunity to voice their opinions on this matter. And I ask your support in urging the state of Wisconsin to accept all federal funds for badger care available through the Affordable Care Act. And on the second page of the referendum, of the resolution, you can see the two referendum questions. And I think I like these questions. And in fact, I have to give an applause to Erica Hayden, who prepared this for me, because when I showed it to United Wisconsin, they actually thought this was one of the best worded referendum questions that's currently being floated around the state. So I'm very grateful for her assistance with this and that she nailed it. Thank you.
Supervisor Roger.
Mr. Chair, I would ask unanimous consent to be added as a co-sponsor, and I would move approval.
Gratefully.
I was going to ask the same, Mr. Chairman, that the author is amenable, that I would ask for unanimous
gratefully
consent, and that I was going to move to adopt those.
Okay. Seeing no objection, Supervisors Broderick and Johnson are added as co-sponsors. And the motion is for adoption by Supervisor Broderick. Questions or comments from committee? Otherwise, we have a number of speakers on this item as well. I'll start with Mr. Carpenter. Jim Carpenter, speaking in favor. And while we wait on him, Mr. Schmitz, were you looking to speak or you didn't check it? Okay, you'll be next.
Good afternoon. My name is Jim Carpenter. I'm an economics instructor. I've been an economics instructor for 15 years. I got an advanced degree from DePaul University. I would like to speak out in favor of a resolution where the people have their say on the increased Medicaid spending in this state. When government loses their way, people should have their say. And when government loses their way even more, there has to be more vehicles for people to have their say. The rejection of increased federal Medicaid spending in Wisconsin clearly shows our state government has lost its way. The acceptance of Medicaid money can be looked at two levels, the moral level and the jobs level. On the moral level, many believe that everyone should have access to basic, affordable health care. Rejecting increased Medicare spending means thousands will lose access to basic, affordable health care. On the jobs level, I would also like to speak as an economist. When we pay federal taxes and then we do not allow the federal government to make expenditures in Wisconsin, we create a balance of payments problem. Money is leaving the state but is not allowed to come back into the state. When there's a balance of payments problem, this will shrink the Wisconsin economy. This will cost us thousands of jobs. This issue is so compelling and so obvious that even Republican governors who are opposed to Obamacare have accepted Medicare money. Eight Republican governors have now accepted the expansion of Medicaid money, and three more are thinking about accepting the expansion of Medicaid money. So the idea that we should so this is an outrageous idea that we should not allow the federal government to spend money in our state, and I think it's so outrageous that people need to have their say on this idea. Thank you.
Mr. Schmitz?
I'm sorry. One more thing I'd like to point out is this handout that I've given around. There is actually a study commissioned by the Families USA and Citizen Action of Wisconsin about how many jobs would be lost if we did not accept increased Medicaid spending. And the study shows that 10,000 jobs would be lost if we did not accept the Medicaid expansion. And that's in the document that you have before you. Thank you.
Thank you.
The governor working against his job creation.
Mr. Schmitz. Followed by Mr. Craig.
Thank you, Chairman Lipscomb. Thank you, gentlemen of the committee and ladies of the staff. I'm here to speak on behalf of the membership of Grassroots North Shore. I'm on the steering committee, and of course, on behalf of the people of Milwaukee County. Also, as a small business owner and someone who's involved with businesses around not just the state and the nation, I'd like to cover briefly the economic impact of this decision to not accept the Medicaid money and therefore speaking in favor of the proposed referendum. Based on analysis that's been done, we are leaving something like $1 million a day on the table that could be in the state treasury and in the pockets of Wisconsin, residents of Wisconsin, if we would accept the Medicaid money. And of course, that has an impact on our local and our state economy. Of course, we have seen the effect of when you reduce purchasing power of the consumers in this state, when the changes were made back in 2011 compensation and handling benefits by public employees, which resulted in a slowdown of our state economy. And in the case of not accepting the Medicaid funding, we have now tens of thousands of people that will have to cover many of their own health expenses when they can, and therefore they too will have reduced, diminished buying power, and that'll have an economic effect on the state as well. Jim Carpenter and others will be addressing the humanitarian impact. Jim also made mention of the fact that we will not be benefiting from accepting the Medicaid funding, which from what I understand will result in shortfalls into our economy. One thing I do want to point out as well is that what came along with the Medicaid program were the tools which enabled the state of Wisconsin to negotiate with insurance companies. And based on analysis that was done by which was recently released by Citizen Action of Wisconsin, the study found that healthcare costs are going to be much higher in the state of Wisconsin for health insurance than they are to our neighbor to the west in Minnesota, who do have the ability to negotiate with health insurance companies. That works out to be something around the neighborhood of around $1,800 a year per policy. That, of course, has an impact on businesses who have to who are covering the costs of insurance, and on people who have to bear the costs of insurance. Certainly, a drain on their economy. Want to emphasize the point that Wisconsin has very well done their part in supporting the federal system in this country. We basically get back just 80 cents of every dollar that we send to Washington. So it just does not make sense that when we have the opportunity to get money back from the federal government, that we don't accept it. Now, the point has been made by Governor Walker and other Republicans that though the federal government has promised that for the first 3 years the Medicaid funding will be paid for 100% by the federal government, which then drops to, I believe, 90% by the fourth year, They maintain that that at some point the federal government may renege on the agreement. Well, let me point out that if that does happen, and I doubt if it will, because it would be just a political disaster on the part of the government to do that, the state at any point can pull out of the deal, and so we actually have none of the risks and all the reward if we decide to go the route of accepting the Medicaid money. So this, as far as we're concerned, is a no-brainer. Polling already shows that the Wisconsin people favor taking the Medicaid money. Granted, I believe that the basic wisdom of our current current administration, but in this case, we believe that their wisdom has been clouded by political calculation. The general public may not be fully knowledgeable or on the money when it comes to policy in all cases, but it is our belief that they are spot on with this issue, and it behooves us to allow the public expression to push us in the right direction when it comes to the health and the economy of this state and of the county and of Milwaukee County. So we urge the board to put the referendum on the ballot in November. There might be some issue, or you know, we've heard issue from time to time of the cost of putting this on the ballot. I believe that there are some mental health expenses that are covered by Medicaid, and whatever costs we incur by putting this measure in the ballot will be greatly outweighed by the benefit we will get by accepting the Medicaid money. Thank you very much for the time.
Thank you. Robert Craig, speaking in favor, followed by David Reamer, speaking in favor.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for having this discussion. I think we all know in the 21st century that access to health coverage is not a luxury. It's an absolute necessity, that you literally don't have real access to the American dream if you and your family aren't covered for health care. And you are one illness away, literally, from financial ruin and health ruin. And by the way, you lose your job if you do not have health coverage and you cannot stay well. And, of course, it harms the entire economy as well. But even more fundamentally, it's simply a specific moral issue. I think we've come to this position in our society where we think that everyone ought to have somewhere to go to get health care no matter what. And so we're in the middle of a very complicated transition where the Affordable Care Act has been passed, has been held constitutional. In fact, many opponents are now even admitting that they will not be able to repeal it even if power changes hands in 2017. Now, one of the problems we face in the state of Wisconsin is that in upholding the law, the Supreme Court created a loophole where states could turn down the Medicaid money, which was unprecedented. Now, where the Medicaid money fits in is, and it was actually also similar to how we expanded Badger Care, it was understood that very low-income people below the poverty line or near the poverty line have virtually no discretionary income, and they cannot afford health insurance, co-pays, deductibles, and the like. And so the law was set up so that very low-income people below 133% of the federal poverty level would have Medicaid, Badger Care in Wisconsin, and then we'd have private insurance on exchanges with competition with public subsidies to help afford it all the way up to 400% of the federal poverty level. Now, what Governor Walker chose to do was to turn down the Medicaid money at greater cost to the state. We're paying $150 million more, roughly, in this biennium to cover fewer people, but then to expand it at a greater expense to us up to 100% of the federal poverty level, leaving this group of people near the poverty line without Badger Care. Now, his rationale is they can go to the private exchanges. The problem is that it was not intended for people at that low an income level, and they cannot afford a $1,000 deductible, for example. They have virtually no discretionary income and are deciding between food, rent, transportation, clothing, the necessities and basics. Even if they pay that amount, they'll be not paying for something else that's a necessity. A lot will lose coverage. Now, that's terrible for those families. It's also bad for everyone else because it means more uncompensated care, and it means medical providers being stuck with unpaid bills, and that gets shifted on to everyone else. And that's why rates are higher in Wisconsin. It's actually, according to the national research, about 8 to 10% of impact on overall private insurance rates if you don't take the Medicaid money. So that is research from the RAND Corporation. And so that's part of some of the research that we released that was talked about earlier. So this is also a county issue, as you all know, because the counties end up holding the bag when you have more uninsured people. Mental health services, other major services end up shifting to the counties. So there are 20 counties that have passed resolutions asking for either the state to take the money or for the counties to be allowed to explore taking the money, as happened in Ohio. And now there are a number of counties looking at putting this on the ballot. So Eau Claire has already done that. There are a number of other counties in process doing that in order to keep this issue alive. So this is there's a county-specific select here. Counties across the state and county leaders have played a major role in keeping this issue alive, both through their resolutions and through their advocacy. So I think it's a great step, and I want to thank Supervisor Roma West for bringing this forward. But this is a great opportunity for this county to keep this discussion alive, because health care is not a privilege. It is an absolute necessity in this day and age, and this is a way to bring Milwaukee County voters into the conversation by allowing them to vote on this question. So thank you very, very much.
I have a question for you. What came of the issue? At some point in time, I thought there was talk about whether or not counties could step into the shoes of the state, basically, and accept it on a countywide level. What came about?
Yeah, there's
Would
been
that required state enabling legislation, or
that's a great question, and there's been a lot of discussion. Counties in Texas, Louisiana, there was actually agreement for Cuyahoga County in Ohio to take the money. The way the Affordable Care Act is structured, because they didn't anticipate, Medicaid money has never been voluntary in terms of in this way. The state, in fact, back to the founding of the Constitution, it's federal purse strings. The federal government can condition its money, can say if you want Medicaid, you have to do this, or transportation money, anything else. So unfortunately, it's not set up so a county can go directly to the federal government. So what was done in Ohio initially, before Ohio decided to take all the money, was that the state enabled it. The state said, okay, we'll enable this and we'll make an agreement with the federal government that might have passed through to Cuyahoga County, which is Cleveland. And so it still needs to involve the state. So what would need to happen is that the current administration would have to agree to enable counties to do it and to make a proposal to the Department of Health and Human Services. So that's the wrinkle. And so that's why it hasn't happened, because there's been no such agreement from the state administration.
Okay. I appreciate the explanation. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Reamer, followed by Martha De La Rosa.
Well, good morning again, Chairman Lipscomb and members of the committee. I'll try to be brief and only mention things that haven't been brought up so far. Again, my name is David Reamer. I'm a senior fellow at the Community Advocates Public Policy Institute. I'm just a lawyer.
A doctor?
Not a doctor.
You're a
jurist, doc. Right. But if anyone has a medical emergency, don't come to me.
Thank you. I thought that was.
I appreciate the compliment, but I just need to set the record straight. This resolution by Supervisor Roma West really is about where to set a boundary. That's what this is all about. You, as supervisors, you deal with different kinds of boundaries. You know, where a constituent is from, which district, or whether land lies within one municipality or another. This is a different kind of boundary. Where should the boundary be between where Badger Care ends and where coverage under the Affordable Care Act and its exchanges begins? The state of Wisconsin has set that boundary at 100% of the poverty line. And we're allowed under the Affordable Care Act to set it at 133%. Sometimes people talk about that as being 138. That's a technical thing. It's really, let's call it 133. So should we set the boundary lower or higher? Should we have more people in Badger Care and fewer getting covered under the Affordable Care Act exchanges, or more under, or the other way? Normally, when you expand Badger Care, because the state participates in funding it typically, you increase state costs. So it's counterintuitive that you could cover more people under Badger Care but lower state costs. Now, normally, if I were to say to you, well, you have two choices of cars. You could get a pretty good car, it doesn't have air conditioning, has an old-fashioned VHS tape player, you have to roll the windows down, and it costs you $50,000. Or here's this other car. It's really quiet, gets better fuel economy, it's got all kinds of gadgets to run, the sound system. The turn-in rate when you buy a new car is even better. And it only costs you $25,000. You'd look at me and say, well, why are you even talking with me about a choice? That's a no-brainer. Obviously, I'd get the better car for the much lower price. That's what Wisconsin refused to do, and that's what this referendum is about. It's saying, hey, folks, let's wake up and do the common sense thing. Let's have more people covered under Badger Care at a lower cost. So even if it didn't involve any particular benefit to Milwaukee County, to me, this is a no-brainer. We should do this. We should get more people covered under a program that provides better benefits at a lower cost to them and at a lower cost to the state of Wisconsin. The estimates are a little, they vary from month to month, but about a year ago, the Fiscal Bureau said that if we had gone to this boundary of 133, we would have avoided spending over the first biennium, I think over $100 million in GPR at the state level over 5 or 6 years. I forgot exactly what. It would have saved us almost $500 million in GPR. That's money that could have gone back to the taxpayers, could have gone to education, could have gone to cities and counties and so forth. We literally wasted $500 million by making this choice. It was totally, from a budget point of view, and many of you know me as a former city and state budget director, it was a totally irrational decision. Why would it have been better for Milwaukee County to have gone up to the 133% boundary? Well, first of all, some of the people leaving state prisons and coming to Milwaukee, leaving our House of Corrections on parole and probation, and particularly people coming in and out of your criminal justice system. They come in, they're, if not in this building, one of the buildings around here, they're being booked, they're coming in front of a judge, they're being let go. These are people who very often need treatment for addiction and mental illness. Now, this is not to excuse them. If they've committed a crime, they need to bear the consequences of that. But we all know that a huge percent of the people coming into your system and building up huge costs for county taxpayers are people with an addiction, a mental illness. They get off their meds, they're out of control, they hurt somebody, the police come, they come here, and it consumes lots of resources, and I suspect this committee deals with a lot of those issues. Under this expansion, they are eligible for treatment for mental illness and for addiction. Now, that's not going to get every one of them treated, and even those that get treated aren't going to all, you know, stop doing harmful things to themselves and family members and strangers, but some of them will. The more of them are eligible for Badger Care, the more likely they are to get treatment. The less likely they are to not sign up or not get treatment because they're facing having to pay a share of the premium. Badger Care is free to them. It costs money, but it's free to them. There's no fiscal impediment to signing up for Badger Care. There is a fiscal barrier to signing up for coverage under the Affordable Care Act. Even though it's got a huge subsidy, you still have to pay $20-$30 a month. And for people who, as Dr. Craig, a real doctor, said, these are near poor people. They don't have $20 or $30 a month. And if they do, they don't have checking accounts. They don't have savings accounts. So if that group, especially between 100 and 133, are said, you can't get Badger Care, you got to go into this exchange, but by the way, you got to pay $20 every month with money you don't have out of a checking account you don't have, and then when you finally get coverage, in some cases you have to pay a deductible or copay to get it, fewer of them are going to get treatment. More of them are going to end up not being insured, not getting care, getting arrested, showing up in this building and the buildings around it, causing property taxpayers money. So the logical boundary to set, whether you're looking at it from the state perspective, the state taxpayers' perspective, county, you know, the people who live in Milwaukee, just the functions of county government, the boundary should be set at that 133 level. We should go for the full expansion. It truly is a no-brainer, and lots of people who had the same ideological concerns about it that our governor and our legislature did took a deep breath, looked at the numbers, and said, you know, I don't like Obamacare. I don't like President Obama. I don't like what Congress has done, but it's in the interest of my state and my community to do this. We should accept that reality in Wisconsin. So having a voice loud and clear coming out of Milwaukee County communicating that will hopefully contribute to this state kind of waking up from its, I don't know whether to call it whether we're asleep or whether it's a nightmare, and just doing the right thing, doing the common sense thing, saving us money, saving lives, getting better treatment, and lowering taxes. So I do encourage you to go forward with this referendum. Thank you.
Thank you. Martha De La Rosa, followed by Sarah Noble.
Hello, once again, supervisors. My name is Martha De La Rosa, State Director with 9 to 5 Wisconsin, and I'm speaking today on behalf of, in favor of having the referendum being added onto the November ballot for us to accept the Badger Care dollars. Badger Care saves lives. I am a walking billboard, literally today with my shirt, but also just being before you. 15 years ago, I had major surgery done. I was a newly married person, newlywed, had been married less than a year. I had a 38-pound cyst removed, ovarian cyst removed. And being newly married, a student at Marquette University, being raised by a low-wage worker, and I apologize, that was my emotions when I spoke with you before, by a single mother, CNA, for over 30 years now. My family did not have the coverage, you know, young 19, 20-year-old didn't have the coverage, health insurance to have the surgery done, and it needed to be done. Badger Care saved my life. It's bittersweet. I had to lay my nephew to rest in April. He had kidney cancer, and my brother has sickle cell. My uncle is diabetic and amputee. He has one leg. So it's a number of health issues within my family. But I laid my nephew Greg to rest in April. He had kidney cancer, hard worker, had recently moved from Milwaukee to Neenah, Wisconsin. Him and his fiance, she was expecting a baby girl in October. And he was very sick, refused to go to emergency room. He did not have insurance and just thought, oh, I'm sick, Savannah's pregnant, I'm having these stomach troubles, whatever. But that wasn't the case. And once we found out about the kidney cancer, it spread it very rapidly, and we lost him 3 months later. So I'm here today to put a face to it. You've heard the statistics, you've heard the facts, the figures. I'm here to tell you that Badger Care saves lives and to vote in favor for this referendum. Thank you.
Thank you. Sarah Noble, followed by Clarine Mitchell.
Hello. My name is Sarah Noble. I'm the Managing Director of the Reproductive Justice Collective. We want to thank Supervisor Roma West for her leadership on this. This is very important. So through our health awareness campaign, we worked with thousands of families who were at risk of losing their Badger Care health insurance coverage. Many of them told us the difference having Badger Care made to their lives and to the lives of their families. We shared most often when we were out the income guidelines chart, which would show where families would be cut effective April 1st. And one woman, we happened to be posted up in a grocery store, broke down and cried and said, you know, so what am I supposed to do now? This is the one thing I thought that I could rely on. Because we haven't expanded Badger Care, we know the cost to the state, we know that there are higher costs to health providers, and we know that there is an unconscionable cost to the people who are living without health insurance coverage. We really want to make sure that you know that many of the people that we spoke to reached out to the governor's office asking, you know, to please keep Badger Care intact and, in fact, to expand it. And over, those folks were told, no, that this is not going to happen. We see this ballot referendum as an opportunity for people to actually get their voices heard, for people to actually be able to express the importance and need for Badger Care to be expanded in our state. We are obviously in support of it, and thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you. Clarine Mitchell.
Good morning, supervisors. Really, I'm sitting here and just very amazed that this has come to you, and thanking and applauding Supervisor Roma West for her leadership with this, and for a fellow supervisor who has signed on in support of this with the introduction. What's being passed around is our current promotional flyer for Black Health Coalition of Wisconsin. So I'm Clarine Mitchell. I'm the Director of Communications and Collaboration for Black Health Coalition of Wisconsin. For those who are not familiar with our organization, we're a community-based health advocacy organization. We celebrated our 25th anniversary in October of last year, so we've been around, and we've been doing this for a very long time. Specifically with Medicaid, for our organization, we received an Affordable Care Act Navigator grant through CMS and our National Healthy Start Association, as well as a grant from the county through county leadership to be able to expand our Medicaid or Badger Care Plus outreach to be able to work in this effort. We've been on the ground on a daily basis working to make sure as many as possible within Milwaukee County get the needed health care. We've been doing this since August, and with that, and I'm not going to go through data, I'm going to keep this short and sweet because the supervisor has said data, Craig is, and others have said the data, so I'm just going to talk from our perspective of working on a daily basis with the public to be able to get them engaged with this. Unfortunately, as been said, Affordable Care Act, the marketplace exchange, was set up for those between above 133% of federal poverty level. With our work, and now that the marketplace open enrollment period has closed, we've been working to sign people up for Badger Care Plus. those newly eligible, those who are 100% below the federal poverty level, we've been working to get them signed up. With that, we've been finding case after case after case of people who are falling through the cracks. And that crack is getting deeper and deeper, wider and wider. People who are falling through the cracks because they are in that boundary of 100% of the federal poverty level and 133% of the federal poverty level. I think it's important to note, and I don't think it's been said by anyone, that the eligibility criteria for Medicaid and then for the Affordable Care Act marketplace exchanges are totally different. Badger Care Plus take in consideration all care income. Medicaid takes in consideration all income. With the marketplace exchanges, they take into consideration taxable income. So we're finding a lot of people who maybe they're getting disability or other kind of income that's not counted as income in the marketplace, so they're falling through the cracks where they're not able to get the needed insurance that they desperately need. And we've seen cases, and Martha De La Rosa has given her personal testimony for her and family members, and we're seeing cases where it's individuals who have cancer and can't get their needed treatment, especially people who fell off of Medicaid. As of April 1st, who fell off of Medicaid and once was on and was getting in needed coverage and now lost that coverage, people who, beyond having cancer or diabetes, are not able to go and get their necessary kidney analysis, treatments, insulin, all of that. We're seeing those cases on a daily basis. So, again, I'm applauding Supervisor Peggy Roma West for bringing this up because it's very much needed, because there's far too many people who are going without needed health care coverage, and this will be a ready solution to be able to cover that gap. So thank you.
Thank you. Steve Kanzalka, registered but not speaking in favor. Peter Rickman, registered but not speaking in favor. Our final registered speaker, Pamela Carlson. If there are other interested speakers on this item, blue cards are on the table. Thank you.
Good morning. It's nice to see you. It's my first time speaking in front of the board, so it's a little surprise, but I didn't hear about this meeting until yesterday afternoon, so I'm not as well-versed as all the people who were up here before, and I don't have all those numbers, but you know them anyway because you've already heard them. I am speaking for myself. I actually work for the Affordable Care Group, Citizen Action, going around making presentations about the Affordable Care up until it was accepted. And then I also went out still after that because people still didn't completely understand it. But the other half of what I was doing also was comparing our health care to the countries around the world. And our health care is very poor and extremely costly. So I sit here and listen to everyone talk about the cost of all of this, and a few people talk about human life. Well, I'm here to talk now about human life. I'm talking for myself, not Affordable Care or Citizen Action. I'm talking because I pay taxes to the federal government, and I don't complain about it. My accountant once said to me, the more taxes you pay, the more money you're making. And I thought, that's not too bad a deal, you know. I don't complain about my property taxes because my property taxes educates people. I am a teacher and I'm a guidance counselor. So my focus is on people, not on the dollar. My dollars are here to help this community and help my fellow man. I send money to the federal government that it should come back to this state and help the people in my home state. This is my family here. I care about them. When we relegate health care to the dollar, when we say, well, you can't have any health care because you don't have the dollar, how many people are we killing? And are we stopping to think that we are killing? That is the same as pulling a gun and shooting someone. You take away their health care. Sarah Palin talked about the death panel. Well, we have a death panel. And it's the people out there who prevent other people from getting health care. They don't have a specific name on each one, but they exist. So I'm here supporting this, and I will give you one little story. It's about a man I heard about who was very poor, and he had a cancer on his face. It was a small cancer, and it wasn't a deadly cancer. It wasn't going to kill him. It wasn't like a melanoma, but it was going to eat him alive. And he couldn't get it taken off. He couldn't get it taken off because he didn't have health care. So the cancer grew and grew and grew. And as it grew, it ate his face. And as it ate his face, the whole side of his face started to decompose and fall apart. He finally went in for health care to the emergency room. And what drove him to go in was his grandchildren were terrified of him because of the way he looked. Now that little skin cancer he had on there wouldn't have taken a lot of money to remove had they done it when they first found it. But what they removed and what they had to do when he finally did get care was exceedingly expensive, because it not only involved the surgery of removing the cancer, it involved the surgery of cosmetic surgery to replace his face. You know, that ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. It really is true. We need to take care of this. I'm so glad, and I hope so much, you put this referendum on the ballot, because other people like me in the community who want this and who are willing to have our tax money paid to care for other people want this done. So I appreciate what you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you. Last registration is Jeff Weber, registering in favor but not speaking. Supervisor Rainey.
So I would ask unanimous consent to be added as a co-sponsor.
Seeing no objection, Supervisor Rainey is added as a co-sponsor. Supervisor Broderick.
Mr. Chair, I think it's important that we really all understand, and I would hasten to note the rather sobering fact that all of the potential referendum questions that we're considering here this morning, including the item that was withdrawn, have not been endorsed by Mr. Sheehy, Mr. Lubar, or any other members that I'm aware of our House of Lords. So we should not, I'm serious about this, we should not assume that a positive public vote on these questions will necessarily translate into legislative or executive action on these questions any more than it did in 2008 when the public voted in favor of a sales tax referendum that would have saved our parks and our transit systems. So this is about turnout. And I would encourage everyone to take every warm body within reach and make sure that they get to the polls on election day, November 4th. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Other questions or comments from the committee?
Motion for approval.
Supervisor Rainey moves approval. Moves adoption. Item 4. On the motion.
On the motion to recommend adoption, Supervisor Borkowski.
No.
Johnson.
Aye.
Weishan.
Aye.
Broderick.
Aye.
Rainey.
Aye.
Saskunas.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
6 ayes, 1 no. The motion to recommend adoption of item 4 prevails.
Thank you. Item 5. I'm sorry.